19 as we prepare our hearts to come around the table of the Lord this morning and commune with him and commune with one another in Christ in just a few minutes. Verse 1 in chapter 14 says this. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." I just want you to just kind of step back and think about this a little bit with me and meditate on what's going on here. It's the upper room discourse. It's the night of Jesus' betrayal. They've already had their Last Supper, their communion together. And now Jesus is instructing them, and the Gospel of John takes the most time to tell us what was going on that night. What did Jesus say to his disciples? What did he really want them to know and grapple and grasp onto, because he's going to be betrayed that night and crucified the next day? And so remember who this is. This is Jesus, the sovereign Lord of all, the sustainer and creator and sustainer of life itself. Jesus is here, and he says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." So Jesus is about to be betrayed by a close friend. He's about to be beaten, mocked, ridiculed, insulted, suffer through 3 kangaroo court trials, be flogged within inches of his life, have his blood poured out in large quantities from the flogging, and then die an excruciating death on a cross as the slaughtered sacrificial lamb. And yet in his deep love and compassion for his disciples, he ministers to their hearts before all that was going to happen. He knows it's all going to happen, and he knows it's coming, but he's concerned about the hearts of his disciples. That's amazing to me. That's incredible love from a Savior who is God himself, caring deeply and being deeply loving towards his disciples and towards us. And when you see something like that and you realize who it is who's talking and tells us to not let our hearts be troubled, you just have to say he is worth forsaking anything and everything to have him in as our life and to trust him and to know him. And that's what this morning is about, relying on Jesus as the way and the truth and the life. Are we relying on him with our daily lives and in our daily lives as his disciples? And if you don't know Jesus in this room this morning, you want to know him, because you can rely on him. He will minister to your heart. He will do what he says he will do for us and in us and through us. So what we want to ask ourselves as we prepare to come around the table, whether you're a believer in Christ or you're not a believer in Christ, well, what I want you to ask this morning is, am I living in fear, or am I living by faith in Jesus Christ? That's what we want to look at. One of the things that obviously gets in the way of living by faith in Jesus Christ is living by faith in ourselves, trusting our own strength, relying on our own power to live life. And so we're asking, who are we relying on? And that's what Jesus is asking the disciples. Where are you putting your faith? What are you relying on? And in these next few hours and days, Jesus is saying to his 11 that I'm going to go through a lot of stuff, and you're going to be scattered, and you're going to wonder what's going on. And I'm just telling you, trust me. Trust me. Rely on me. It's all going to work out if you will just trust in me. Trust in me. So what leads troubled hearts, the hearts of Jesus' disciples or our hearts, to live in fear? What leads that? Jesus is getting at real strictly that what causes us to live in fear, even as Jesus' followers, is unbelief. Unbelief. according to our text, not trusting in Jesus, not running to Jesus, not relying on Jesus and his promises to work on our behalf and on behalf of us who are helpless and weak, being our Savior and our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in time of trouble. When we get into fear and our lives are wrapped up in fear and in anxiety, Jesus is saying, it's because in those moments, you're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your circumstances. You're not trusting in me. And so he wants his disciples to focus their faith, their trust, their reliance on Jesus and on Jesus alone. I've been, just to be fair, last week we talked about wanting to be a culture of confession. We need to do that because we need to confess our sins to one another. And that's how we're healed. Over the last number of weeks, because of various reasons, I've been living in fear. I've been living in my own strength, in my own power, rather than living in relying on Jesus. And the Lord graciously, just like he does here with this text, and this text came up, let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The Lord's been saying that to me. You know, he does that with the Spirit, and the Spirit, still small voice. And then he leads me to texts that will help me to understand how I need to fight the good fight of faith. And that means fight for faith and trust and reliance on Jesus rather than relying on myself and relying on my own power and my own strength. And so he led me to this text. I've been at this text over the last 3 weeks numerous times. Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead and who raises the dead." It's been me. I've been relying on myself. And that's what Jesus is telling. He's telling the disciples, you need to fight the good fight of faith. You need to keep trusting in me no matter what your circumstances are in life. And you got to believe that I am God, that I am the sovereign Lord, that I will make all things right, and I am working all things together for your good. You need to trust that. You need to rely on me. You need to not live in your own strength, in your own power. And the Apostle Paul, I mean, I find great comfort that the great man of faith, the Apostle Paul, is able to say, and he's confessing to the Corinthian church that, man, I wanted to die. Life got so bad that I wanted to die. But that's how the Lord used that to teach me to stop relying on myself. We're not made to live the Christian life and to walk as Jesus' disciples in our own power, in our own strength. We're made to rely on the power and strength of Jesus daily, daily. Daily. What an amazing thing that is. And so that's Paul's testimony. And then I think of a great hymn of the faith. Martin Luther's hymn, wrote his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. But far too often in my own life, and maybe in yours, we think that we are the mighty fortress without God. That we are something, that we are strong, that we can do it on our own. And we think that we can make it just fine in this world without living by relying on Jesus as our helper, but rather living in our own flesh, in our own strength. And the Apostle Paul says that he puts no confidence in his own flesh, in his own personal strength as a human being. No confidence, Philippians 3, Paul says that, in the flesh. None. 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 And Luther says in his hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. A helper he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing, against the sins and the temptations in our life that want to get us to stop trusting Jesus, to stop living by faith in Jesus, and to start living by faith in our own power, in our own strength, in our own way, in our own truth, in our own life. That's what the world, our enemy, Satan, and our own sinful flesh, they always want to push us away from faith in Jesus and into self-reliance. Self-reliance is the opposite of faith in Jesus. Living by self-reliance is the opposite of living by trusting and relying on Jesus. They're opposites. They are never together. And when we live out of self-reliance, the result is fear. We live in fear and despair and discouragement, because God made it that way so that we come back to Him, even as His children. God made life to not work without Him at the center. He made it that way. Ecclesiastes tells us that. Other books of the Bible tell us that. And so Martin Luther goes on in his song, "If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He." So instead of living in the fellowship and the love of Jesus and the Father and allowing Him to be our mighty fortress, refuge, strength, and ever-present help in time of trouble, we just decide we are our own refuge and strength and ever-present help. We live in our own strength and wonder why we are weak as believers in Christ. We live in our own power and wonder why we are so afraid as a church of Jesus Christ. And that's why. So John's whole gospel is helping us to understand what it means to believe, to trust, to rely on Jesus in our everyday life and for Him to become our life. He says right at the end of the gospel, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written." John says, "I wrote the gospel of John so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, in believing, present tense, ongoing action, a life of believing, you may have life in His name." How we have life in Jesus' name is by a lifestyle of trusting and relying on Him. How His life gets into us is through faith, trusting Him with everything in our lives and living with in glad-hearted obedience to Him, because we know that He has the best plan for our life as we follow Him. And so John writes that we might believe. That means trust, be assured of, rely on, have confidence in Jesus as the Christ, the promise-fulfilling, chosen one, Messiah of God, the Son of God, the very essence of God Himself, and that by believing we have life in His name. Life equals connection with God's very life. How we get connected with the very life God, the life-giving God, is through trusting and living by trusting and relying on Jesus Christ. That's how we have fellowship with God, is by trusting in Jesus Christ in our everyday ongoing life in this world. Jesus said, I came to give them life and give it to the full. I came to redeem people into the full extent of God's love. Are you desperate for the very presence of Jesus in your everyday life? That's the question. That's the question as we come around the table. Do you know, like the psalmist, that you will die of hunger and thirst without Jesus in your life? As a deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, Jesus. You know, I heard Matt Chandler say, I mean, that's a cute verse. We put it on a cup. We got a little deer with antlers. And he said, no, that's not what the verse is saying. The psalmist in Psalm 42 is in agony. Why? Because he needs to know and live in the presence of God. And he's not sure where God is right now. And he's in agony at the depths of his being, because he knows that his soul will shrivel up and die of hunger and thirst if he does not get to dwell in the presence of God. and make his home with God. That's what it means to abide with Jesus, is to make our home with him. We live in his house. And that's what Jesus goes on to tell us here in John 14, the antidote for troubled hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. Jesus is saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to die on the cross now for your sins in order to bring you back into the full fellowship with God, which is life itself. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm preparing that place so that you can dwell in the presence of God forever and ever and make your home in his presence. That's what Jesus is saying here to the disciples. And so he's saying, you've got faith, trusting and relying on Jesus, and you have hope in Jesus as well. Hope is about the future. Who secures my future? And what is my future that's being secured? People can put their hope in money because they think money is going to provide them the life that they want in this world. But we as Jesus' people put our hope in Jesus, because we believe he's going to provide what we really need at the deep down level of our heart, which is fellowship with God forever. To enjoy him forever. That is so cool. And that's what Jesus is telling them and reminding them, so that after he's crucified, they look back on this, and John looks back on this and writes this, and he remembers what Jesus said, and he said, you know, if I go and prepare a place for you, he's talking about going to the cross there. He is talking about his second coming, but he's also talking about going to the cross right now, and that's how he prepares a place for us. He suffers and dies and gives his life as a ransom for many, so that we might be brought into the fellowship of God. And so Jesus is talking about, so the antidote for troubled hearts is faith, trusting Jesus, trusting and believing that these promises he's making are really true, and they're really true for me, and they're really true for you, and they're really true for us as a church body. Man-centered fear is a form of unbelief. It's not trusting in and relying on Jesus as our God, our sovereign Lord, and life itself. It is a sign that we are not relying on him, but relying on self when we have that troubled hearts and fear. Do you believe that Jesus and Jesus alone can deliver you safe and sound to the Father's house? Do you believe him and bank your future upon him alone to prepare a place for you in fellowship with the living God of the universe? And he's already done that right now. Is your hope not in yourself or your own strength, but in Christ alone? This is what Jesus is encouraging his disciples and you and I this morning with as we come around the table, as we think about his death on the cross and his life of righteousness, and then him being raised again so that we might have new life in his name. He wants us to say, trust me, continue to trust me. Rely on me, continue to rely on me. I went to the cross to prepare a place for you so that you could enjoy the fellowship with me and with my Father. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. You don't have to work for it. Nobody has to work for it. Just enjoy it, receive it, and enjoy it, and live there in trust and reliance on all that Jesus says he will be for us, us helpless and hopeless sinners. And so that's what he goes on to say as he starts to talk about in John 14 about being of the Father and how you get into relationship with the Father and how you become a child of God. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He's saying, I am God, the one true God. And I am the Son, and there is the Father, and there is the Spirit, but there is one God, and I am he in human flesh. And so if you know me as your God, you know the Father as your God, and you are his child. So again, it goes back to knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, and relying on him to do everything it and has done everything it takes to bring us into fellowship with the Father in heaven. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Believe in God and believe in me as God is what Jesus is saying. He is the way to God the Father. He is the truth of God itself, the living word. He is the very life of God himself. That's what he means by saying he's the way, the truth, and life. He isn't a way, or he isn't showing us the way. He is the way. Fellowship with him and trusting him is the way. If you want to know the truth about life and about God, Jesus is that truth about life and about God. And Jesus is life itself. He's the life-giving God. Only God has life to give to another. And he is the only one who gives that life and redeems us and forgives us of our sins and brings us back into fellowship with God, which is eternal life. Which is eternal life. So, as we come this morning, we're going to pick up this text next week. I was planning to do just 1 week on John 14. I'm going to do some more because there's some amazing stuff that we're not going to have a time to get to this morning. So we'll come back to that next week. But for this morning, as we come around the table here in just a minute, fear or faith in Jesus and the Father? That's really the question we're being asked. Right now, in your own life, in your own heart, as you do business with the Lord around the table, you're either living in one of those two camps. You're either living in fear, in your own flesh, in your own strength, in your own power, or you're living by faith in Jesus and faith in God as your Father, who says that he will never leave you or forsake you, who says that no matter what you're going through, he's right there with you, who says that he has sovereign purposes in everything that comes into your life. Nothing comes into your life or mine as a child of the Father without first passing through the Father's hands. Whether that's financial difficulties, whether that's relationship difficulties, whether that's whatever it has come to us, and the Father means it for our good, ultimately. We don't have to cower in fear. We have a Father in heaven. We don't have to cower in fear. We have a Jesus who loves us so much that he's willing to take the beating and the ridicule and the shame so that we can enjoy living in faith with him the rest of our lives. The rest of our lives. So fight the good fight of faith. This is a great passage. Thought about, because I just want you to see that the issue is trusting Jesus. The issue is relying on Jesus when we're fearful. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you. This also happened in the upper room before he was arrested. Has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Jesus says, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again away from fear and back to me in faith, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers in their faith in me and reliance on me. You see that? But a couple of things I just want you to see. Satan, and he's still doing this work today, Satan wants to sift your trust and your reliance on Jesus right out of you and me. He can't, if we're his child, if we belong to Jesus, he can't take us away from that We're secure because of the sovereignty of Christ who has saved us. But he can try to get us to live in a way that dishonors Jesus, not trusting him and not relying on him. And he will try to do that in your everyday life and in mine. And he's been doing that in mine. Rely on yourself. Just abandon Jesus and just do it yourself. You don't need Jesus. Deny him publicly. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But remember, Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding for us every single day. Why? So that our faith, our trust in him will not fail. And then when we're strengthened again in our faith, we want to encourage others in their faith. But faith is not faith in faith. It's faith in a person. It's faith in Jesus. Trusting him to be strong for us. Trusting him to be the refuge and strength when we are all, know we're weak. Trusting him to be that ever-present help. Not relying on self. Not relying on the things of this world. Jesus and Jesus alone. So, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fight the good fight of faith around the communion table this morning. We at Valley practice what we call open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of Valley to participate in communion, but you do have to be a member with Jesus Christ. You do have to know him as your Lord and your Savior and your life. That's the only requirement to participate in communion here this morning. How we are doing it here is that we're going to have a few moments of silence for you to prepare your hearts, maybe look at the passage a little bit more, look at some other passages that you'd like, and prepare your hearts to meet with the Lord at the table and remember his crucifixion, his perfect life that the bread represents, his life of righteousness that gets credited to our account when we have our trust in Jesus. And then the blood, the shed blood, which represents his death on the cross, taking our place, taking the full wrath of God so that we didn't have to take it, so that he could then cleanse us of our sins and bring us back into this grace-filled relationship with God that we were all meant to have. And so, come out when you're ready. Just come out into the aisle, come down and take your communion right there at the table. Take the bread, take the cup, and then when you're done, go on back, probably either through the center aisle or maybe up the sides, just to try to get a little congestion, but it might not be too congested, and then back to your seat. And then we're going to go right into some worship songs that focus right on Jesus, and we're going to go out worshiping him out of communion this morning. So I'm going to pray, and then a little bit of silence. The worship team will come up, I believe. And are you guys going to play a little instrumental too? Where are you guys? I lost the worship team. they'll be coming up in just a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you right now. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. What a gift. Gift of love, gift of righteousness, to do all the work. He paid it all. We don't work our way to God. We can't work our way to you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that we might no longer live for ourselves, but live by faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, in this world, I live by faith. Humble, dependent reliance on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Strengthen our faith, Lord, in Jesus as we come around his table this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name.